What's up, everybody? It's me, Greg Miller, and this is a Gregway. Finally, as you probably, hopefully saw, I was bad at Gregways this week. Monday had a family emergency. Tuesday had jury duty. Three? That's what I call Wednesday on a fucking Friday. Wednesday, I stayed home and tried to catch up on work, which meant reviewing a video game all day long. Woe is me. And then Thursday, the day just got away from me. I put up a post on several of those days trying to explain it to you, including yesterday's, where I was like, you know what? It's out of control. Let's just do a giant Gregway. So, hey, Siri. Hey, Siri. Set a 20-minute timer.
20 minutes, starting now.
This is your Gregway, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, you can always write to me. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. When I put up a Gregway, you just go to that post and you leave a whole bunch of comments and questions and I can do stuff. So I went through and cherry-picked a bunch of ones that I thought were good or I had good responses for or that I, you know, that haven't been answered somewhere else and toss them in here and have them in a sheet or whatever. But first, jury duty. Didn't get picked. Let me tell you, I've never actually been called for jury duty. I have been sent the piece of paper, hey, call this number, you know, the night before, the Sunday before or whatever, and see if you're going to be needed for jury duty. I called that, and I was needed, and I was like, fuck. And so I was like, whatever, I'm sure I'll get there. I'll sit, I don't know how jury duty works. I'll sit in a room, and then, you know, they'll pull me and put me on some stupid thing they need a jury for. And it was not that. They called, you know, a whole bunch of jurors and then put us all in the big room. Like, all right, cool, here's what's happening. You're all, there's a trial going on, and you're all going to go down. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is a real thing. And then we got vetted all day long. I never made it to the actual, like, stage to talk. You know, the other people got up there. They got to talk. It was, A stolen car, a felon with a weapon, felon with fentanyl. There's all this other stuff we were ready to go. I've been told I can't even talk about it. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Since I didn't get picked on the jury, I'm able to talk about it now. So, you know, it was a mixed bag for me, right? Because on the one hand, obviously, it's a very busy week. Next week is a very busy week, both in terms of video game reviews and then Royal Rumble. So it's like if I would have gotten stuck on a trial going for, you know, months, it would have been a big deal. They thought this one was going to go 1 week. They would have been Tuesday to Tuesday is what they were predicting. So on the one hand, obviously, would have fucked up my schedule. But on the other hand, I think being on a jury is pretty cool, and it would have been a cool experience. So it was fun to go through this part and see everybody get interviewed and people come up with the lamest excuses and lie. I couldn't do this because my car always gets broken into when I'm going mountain biking, and the cops, I wouldn't even call them anymore, because when we did call them, they would say, oh, it's just people looking for money for fentanyl. So I don't know if I could be unbiased in a thing that involves fentanyl. Like, what the fuck is wrong with that? What a weak goddamn excuse for fucking doing this. You just don't want to do this. Yeah, old man, you just don't want to do this. I didn't want to do it either, but, you know. Well, I wanted to do it. But was this the right time? The one thing they kept saying is, you know, this is only a week-long trial. The people next door have been going since August, so you should probably take it if you got called here. I was like, that's good advice, Judge. It's good advice. However, I won't talk too much about it because there is a question I know coming up about it. But first, we will start with the one, the only, Ryan Povala Higgins, who writes in on patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, hey, Greg. Once again, this week, we have heard about people getting laid off who work at games media companies. I know there isn't a blueprint on how to be successful within the games industry, but from the outside, looking in, it appears like Kinda Funny is successful. You have recently launched the Spare Bedroom. You have increased your permanent staff over the last 8 years and are collaborating with some of the biggest companies in the world. Large companies seem to be constantly cutting back, but we have also seen companies mirror your approach to funding. But they haven't seen the same success. What do you think is the future of games media, and how will it be funded? Yes, Ryan Povala Higgins, obviously. Layoffs and closures have been a big story in our industry, and I mean games in general, both games media and games game development. And to some degree, I think they always have been, but obviously recently there has been a huge push with IGN, GameSpot, Giant Bomb, Fanbyte, you name it, it's been going on. I don't want to list anybody and miss somebody and misrepresent G4, blah, blah, blah. So your question has multiple pieces to it. You know, it appears like Kinda Funny is successful. We are successful. Of course, that could change. You know what I mean? I think something to tackle there is always the honest to God's truth of what we are and who we are, right? Like, we are Kinda Funny, and we are a very transparent business. If you want to pay attention, you will notice what is going on around here, right? And so, like, you know, You know, full disclosure, you know, we seems like the whole world is heading towards a recession, right? And so when you see us doing podcasts where we're advertising our Patreon as the ad, that means we're not sponsored. That means there's no advertiser that week, which means we're not making money really off that show, right? I mean, we are, you know, I'm talking about advertising revenue, right? The normal ad reads you get in it, right? So that's always concerning to a degree. That's not a reflection on us as much as it is, you know, I mean, look at Freshly, right? Yes, Freshly. They just closed, right? They were a sponsor of ours for a long time. I liked them. Me and Jen used them throughout the pandemic. I liked them so much I had an ongoing subscription with my father, for my father, I should say. And one day I got an email saying, hey, Greg, we're not going to be here in January anymore. I was like, oh, shit, okay. Like, that's the kind of domino effect when you talk about a recession, right? You talk about other companies closing, cutting back on their spending. Then you see them cut back on advertising. You see something probably, and I'm talking very much outside of my ass on this one. Outside of my ass. You know what I mean? I'm very tired, obviously. But you look at something like any of the big corporations that I just mentioned that have closed down and laid off people, right? They're seeing the same things. They're probably not getting the same amount of advertising, which means they then go into cost-cutting mode and yada, yada, yada. And I'm speaking very general because I don't want to speak on something. I don't know what any of their books actually look like and how that goes. So, kind of funny, successful, because of course we're an 11-person operation, and more importantly, we fucking own it. It's all ours. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have a corporate overload, right? Overlord. This is always one of the things. You know, I would never say, you know, who knows what the future would bring. We are not in any way, shape, or form anytime soon, probably, looking to sell the company, right? That's not something, that's not what I dream of. That's the easiest way to put it, right? My dream is that everybody out there is taken care of and has a successful career here, and we keep making money, and everybody can have houses and cars and families and, you know, retirement and not worry about getting laid off or anything like that. But, you know, that's the con, I would say, when you, it's similar to what we talk about of like, oh man, Double Fine, you know, was the independent game developer, and then guess what? They got bought by Xbox. That's both cool and lame, right? I'm talking as the internet right here. Of course, it's cool that guess what? Tim Schafer doesn't have to worry about keeping the lights on anymore. He doesn't have to worry about payroll. He can just make games. He can focus on what he's good at. They can take the responsibilities off of them. You know, you can pair that over to us if we were to sell, which I'm not, that is not what's happening. I'm very happy to be independent as we see all these layoffs happening. But, you know, think about it. If it was that Nick doesn't have to worry about payroll and Tim doesn't have to worry about advertising and we can all just go create and podcasts and make shows and stuff, right? People are always like, why aren't there more interviews? Why aren't there two Kind of Funny podcasts a week? Well, there's a lot of things that make Kind of Funny go, and we need the time to make those. It's not just playing games, sadly, or watching movies, right? If we were to get bosses, there would be. But guess what? We would lose control of the company, and that would then be that, hey, you know, we're owned by Coca-Cola, and I don't like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's getting into fucking hypothetical abortion podcast. And they're like, guess what? You know, we're coming in light, or you're not making enough money, or you're not having the return on investment. Your staff's too big. Your office space is too expensive. We're going to go and, you know, cut it up, do whatever it would need to be. That's the con of it, right? And so, you know, I think a lot of it is size and being able to be nimble, and then, of course, being independent. Being independent is awesome. It's terrifying. I have way more gray hair, as you've seen, over the last 8 years because of it, but it's awesome, and we get to chart our own course and do our own thing and take our own chances and decide what success is to us versus a company that has shareholders, and the shareholders decide what is successful and what is not. That was not even your question, right? You were just talking about it. Again, what I would say to this is something I said on the stream earlier, and something I'm obviously preaching to the choir about. If you're watching this, you're either supporting us at the $25 level or you're supporting us in February at the $10 level. Keep putting your money where your mouth is. And I don't mean that as – I think that sounds aggressive, and I don't mean it to be aggressive, but keep supporting. And I don't just mean Kind of Funny. I mean whoever it is you want to support, whatever company, you know, MinMax, us, Janet, a Twitch stream, Ray, doesn't matter. Like, that is how this happens. And when these layoffs happen, like, I'll tell you right now, man. I will tell you right now, man, slash woman, slash non-binary person, nothing pisses me off isn't the right word. I guess breaks my heart more than – I see these people get laid off. I see them lose their dream jobs. And of course, I can be there in a second. I know what it was like to work at IGN. I know what it was like to be afraid of layoffs. And I can only imagine what it's like to have what you think is the best job in the world, having the best time, and then boom, it's just gone on a random ass Monday, right? Because some beanie hunter said it was. Nothing breaks my heart more than when those people are mourning their jobs and people, and I know they're being good-hearted on Twitter, tag me. Greg, hire this person. Greg, you should pick them all up. Greg, are there any job openings that kind of funny? And it's like, oh man, first off, don't rub salt in these people's wounds who are just trying to mourn their jobs. And secondly, did you increase your Patreon pledge at this point? Did you click on the ad sponsors for the week? Did you like, subscribe, share, show it to your friends and whatever? And I'm, don't take me out of context and don't take my quotes out of context and don't try to turn it on me. I'm not saying like, fuck you, it's your fault. I'm not. It's just like, we are also a business. And behind this wall is not a giant vault of money that we're just sitting on laughing, right? Like, there are the pieces of the puzzle that are like, well, yeah, I'd love to hire so many of the amazing free agents out there right now. But that's not really where we are. We're 11 people strong and a whole bunch of part-timers and contractors that, again, as you just saw on recent conversations of all, like, we're trying to use less because we're not trying to not use less. We're using in very specific instances now because, of course, we do have a budget and we do have all these people out here that I pay to be ready to be on camera and do all sorts of stuff. And so it's like there is a whole thing of, like, don't bring me into their don't bring me into their pain right there. Let them share. Let them feel that. Talk to them about how much this sucks and that you're there for them and yada, yada. Don't, you know, then be like, Greg, why don't you hire them? Well, you know, why don't I fucking buy a goddamn helicopter to fly people to the moon and shoot content? Because I can't, you know, and you understand what I'm driving at here. Again, I'm not saying this is the people's fault who do this. Whatever. What do I think the future of games media is and how will it be funded? I got off the rails there a bit. I think the future of games media really doesn't look too much different. I think you will continue to have your IGNs, your GameSpots, your Polygons, your, you know, these .coms. And even when I was at IGN, we talked about how, oh man, the magazines are falling away. Oh man, there are these gigantic sites that seem to be unsinkable. And then there are the smaller sites that get gobbled up or closed down or whatever. And then guess what? There's always more sites starting. There's always more things happening. I don't think you're going to see... with all due respect, and this is not a knock, I'm surprised Polygon's still around. Because I remember when Polygon started, I was like, oh man, like, they were doing something different, obviously. And it was like, is there room for that? Is there going to be an audience for that? And there is, obviously, and there was and there is. I don't know if you'd see another one of those come around, right? Like, I think Fanbyte was the shot at that. And granted, again, Fanbyte has Tencent behind it, who has very particular... metrics for success and what they wanted out of that and obviously didn't get it. But I don't know if you're going to see another .com come around that has all that thing. I think, you know, the future of it is a lot of stuff like us, even though I think it is impossible. Not impossible. It's incredibly hard to do what we did again. You know what I mean? Like, we were the tip of the sword on Patreon. We were able to come out and be one of those first stories. And then you saw, you know, Danny with Noclip do it. You saw Easy Allies and Brandon do it. Like, it can still happen. You've seen MinMax do it, right? Nextlander. There's plenty of people who are able to get out there and make a living and do the dang thing. But, like, I don't know if you could do that from scratch, right? So you would need these things. But what's weird about it is also, I feel like oftentimes in these instances, and this is not a knock at anybody, so please don't take it as, the people who are getting laid off aren't Greg Miller. They aren't Brian Altano. They aren't Max Scoville, Lucy James. They aren't people who are already entrenched, already have an audience, are already front-facing for the company, right? It seems like, and I'm talking out of my ass or... outside of my ass, as I said earlier, for the Giant Bomb ones, right? Like in GameSpot ones, it was like a video producer, this. And if you're really dialed into the content, you know these personalities and people, but not in the same way of like, oh, it was the face of the site kind of thing. And so I think that makes it harder for them to be like, I'm going to turn around, flip it, and go chase this on our own. So the future is, I think that you're going to continue to see these big .coms come around. I think you will continue to see people. This sounds bad, but I would say it's, you know, definitely what I did. Take advantage of working there. And I don't mean take advantage in a gnarly, horrible way. I mean, hey, you've given me the spotlight. I'm going to take every opportunity I can from it. I'm going to bust my ass for the .com as well. But eventually you're going to get to that point where, cool, there's nowhere for you to go promotion-wise, or there's nowhere for you to go money-wise, or they're holding you back on a creative rein kind of thing. And then maybe that's when you see those people be like, you know what, let's go start our own thing. Let's go be a Twitch streamer. Let's go start our own podcast, like Kind of Funny. Let's go do these things and Patreon fund it. I think you'll continue to see that, and I think you'll see those .coms then continue to be the training grounds for that, kind of launch that, right? I think it's interesting that – I guess that's not true. I was going to say it's interesting that – no, I don't want to say that because it's clearly wrong. I don't want to do it. But I think that's the way it would go, is people will build up, I guess do what I did, right? I didn't do it on purpose, but like go there, build a personality, build a audience, a fan base, a body of work, and then take off with it and go that way. I think that'll continue to be it. I think you'll continue to see those .coms do it. I think you'll continue to see independent podcasts, Twitch streamers, YouTube channels, .coms come and bring up those personalities that then, you know, I say hopefully, but I'm sure they wouldn't think it, that then move to an IGN and become that new class, become that new class at GameSpot, Giant Bomb, whatever, and go up and go. But, you know, this entire thing is the Matrix in so many ways, right? Where it's like you live through it enough that it just keeps happening. But yeah, what will happen next is that there'll be more layoffs. It'll be a leaner time in the industry. And then video games will continue to be successful. The economy will turn around. The recession will end or wane down. And then you'll start seeing those things staff back up. And you'll see it. It's the same thing with like work from home and versus the office, where it's like we rubber banded out to go, or we went out to go work from home. And now we're going to rubber band back to working in an office, I think. You know, other people, other than Kind of Funny, of course, who I can tell this is the job, come do it or whatever. I digress. That was one fucking question. I apologize, but it was a really good one, Ryan. And that's it. Again, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like I talk about that. That's a sensitive subject. I didn't mean to offend a fan who, if you tagged me or like, you should hire these people. I'm not saying you're a bad person or something. I'm just saying like, oof, I hear you, but like, I can't. I wish I could. CG Danny B. says, over the last few weeks, I've seen a lot of negativity around Forspoken. Now, I've still yet to play the demo, but every time I think, quote, damn, my KFBF Gary would have worked on that game. I hate to see it get shit on like this, end quote. I know the feedback doesn't directly affect Gary's contribution to the game, but I was wondering as a reviewer how you handle that separation of a game that you may not like when a friend of yours works on it. Love and Greg, keep up great work. CG Danny B. Great question, CG Danny B. This is always it's about ethics and games journalism, of how you can do any of the things we do and have any of the relationships we have. The long and short of it is it's never affected me once and I've never cared. If I'm going to review your game and not like it, if we have a friendship and usually it's an acquaintanceship, right? I know you from E3, GDC, we get a drink, we do whatever. If that's us, and then I don't like your game, and then I put up my review saying I don't like the game, and you don't want to talk to me anymore, all right, well, you know, you saved me a lot of work there, because I'm doing my job. You did your job making the thing, I did my job reviewing the thing, and now we move on with it, right? And so, you know, it's funny you bring up Gary and Forspoken. Like, I don't know anything about that. And I'm not fully briefed. I don't know anything about the game. I definitely know anything about Gary's involvement. I remember when the thing got announced and it was Project Whatever, and he was like, I worked on this game, but he doesn't talk about any of our stuff, so I really don't know what exactly he did for it. I digress. I know what he did on The Walking Dead Season 1 for Telltale, right? He was a story consultant, and if you may remember, he came on up at noon. That's when I did touched his knee, and it was the don't touch my knee thing. And infamously, he was a consultant on the whole thing, and then episode 4 was his episode that he wrote. And episode 4 was the lowest one I gave a score to in, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4 reviews I did for season 1. And then I gave episode 5 a higher score. And, like, now, obviously, me and Gary are really good friends, close friends. I love Gary. He loves me. And, like, you know, our families hung out and the babies hung out not too long ago. And, like, we text and we're friends. We are legitimate friends in a way that, like, when I'm like, oh, friend of the show, person from L.A. who works on the game isn't the same way necessarily. You understand. Back then, that was not the case. Back then, it was that Gary was on up at noon and I really dug him. And I knew he knew people at IGN. And, like, maybe I'd interact with him one other time out of that. I put that up. I didn't like his episode, and I remember at some point he tweeted something. This is months after, maybe weeks, it doesn't matter, days. He tweeted something to the effect of, like, anybody know anything about this thing or whatever? And somebody responded from the IGN Kind of Funny community, or IGN, oh, sorry, Beyond community. Back then there was no Kind of Funny. And they were like, oh, I know Greg didn't like it. Greg didn't review it well, and Gary responded to it, yeah, but what taste does Greg Miller have in a winky emoji? And he tagged me in it, and I was like, Gary Whitta, you're a cool motherfucker. You know what I mean? That's the kind of shit I love. And to be clear, I've had it the other way. I've had plenty of people who are acquaintances, you know, people I know from years of covering PlayStation video games, E3s, GDCs. And it is that, oh, you're great, Greg. And then I review their game and they don't like it. And it's like, they unfollow me on Twitter. They, you know, they're cold when they see me next time. I hear, oh, man, they really didn't like it. I'm like, fuck them if they didn't like it. get the fuck out of here. I'm doing my job, giving an honest appraisal of the art, or at least giving, hopefully giving an opinion of the art that I'm backing up with the argument. That's always the thing, right? Is like, it's always just my thing, but it's never been a deal for me in terms of it. The separation is just that. And again, I'm fast and loose with it, right? Where it's like the levels of friendship and acquaintanceship, you know, how many people am I super close to? Like, it's not like Poe's making fucking video games. And they, if he did, they'd be fucking terrible. And I would tell you that they're terrible. But that's generally how it goes. For me, it's more that I love the fun stuff of this industry where we're blessed to have so many people in the industry who make the games, listen to our podcasts. And so when I say something goofy, not goofy, but like a hot take there, and I get the text or the DM from somebody of like, you're a fucking idiot. You're saying that. I'm like, hey, man, I'm going. Most people are really fun about it. Most people understand that making the game is their job. Me talking about the game is my job. And that everybody has opinions and whatever. I'm just also some moron who talks about games. Who cares? Shay Griffith says, I had jury duty for the first time last week. I had overcome immense stress and anxieties since the last time I was in court. I was fighting on my own. Sorry. Man, that 20 minutes went fast. One good question from Ryan that fucked everything up. Just kidding, Ryan. You did a great job. Continuing with Shay here. I had overcome immense stress and anxiety since the last time I was in court. I was fighting for my own freedom. There was an ungodly amount of sweat, lol. When was the last time you had to face a fear that causes borderline debilitating stress or anxiety, and how did you best overcome it? Fuck. That's a great question. It's a tough one. Clear the mechanism and what comes to mind, because I don't think of myself, and also I haven't had to fight for my life. I'm glad, in a court of law. I'm glad you got out of it okay and everything's great. For me, a weird one was post-COVID, getting on a United flight. They give you these little alcohol wipes to wipe down your stuff or whatever, right? And sat down and, you know, everybody in the plane starts opening their packets at different points or whatever. And it was the same alcohol smell of what they would swab my arm with before they gave me my IV for chemotherapy. And it totally triggered fight or flight. Like, it was like, and Jen's like, what is wrong? I'm like, I'm having like an acid flashback. I guess it'd be not a panic attack, but an anxiety episode. I don't fucking know. To where it was like, I was back in that moment. Cause like, it's that smell that then became that taste. And like, when I would get the swab, I would then get the saline, and then I would have the taste in my mouth. And like, you know, months in, I had to start bringing Jolly Ranchers because the taste sickened me so much. Because, you know, it's all these different sensations, smells, and flavors tied together to make me think and feel like I was getting chemo again. So I didn't have a panic attack, because panic attacks are very serious, and I do not suffer from them. So I don't want to put myself in that camp in at all, like, you know, act like I do. But it was something like that. And that's like super rare. I don't have that usually in anything. So we're over the 20 minutes, which is how much I owed you. There are a lot of questions left. Let me see if there's some. Paul Smith, we don't have time. James Davis, we don't have time. I like this one because it's an interesting question. Maniza writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunny with a tough question, kind of, and says, why do you keep calling it Ben's dog? This is a personal opinion, but it makes it sound like you don't care for the dog. It sounds like it's Ben's dog and you tolerated being there. I'm sure that's not the case. Maybe it's a way to separate him from Porty in your head. This was triggered because I'm watching The Last of Us review live and you just called it Ben's dog. I mean, yes, you got the dog for Ben's. You got the dog so he and Ben can grow up together, but it's your dog as well. In the parentheses, I keep calling it the dog because I'm not sure how to spell his name. I appreciate that. Miniza? Or Miniza. I'm not sure which one. But I'm going to go Miniza because it reminds me of pizza and mini pizzas. The dog's name is Cole. I do love Cole quite a bit, as you can imagine. Cole is very cute and very adorable and yada, yada, yada. It is definitely tied to Portillo stuff. And it's also the fact that we got the dog to be the family dog. And we got the dog to be Ben's dog. Like, you know, that was the idea of, obviously, I want them to grow up together. They're already best friends and cute as a button together. But, yeah, it's... It's, I think for me, it's, that was the point of getting the dog, is that Ben's obsessed with dogs, so we wanted to get him a dog, so Cole is his dog. And obviously right now, Ben's a baby, and so we are taking care of it, and Cole is clearly the family dog. But yeah, he's not my dog. Like, you know, he is the family dog, and I'm part of the family, and I walk him, and I love him, and I kiss him, and I play with him, and I make videos about him, and I do all these different things. But, like, yeah, you know, me and Portier had a special relationship. Like, you know, I don't think I'll ever have that again because my life's so great. I'm never going to be alone again like that. I'm never going to be, you know, I'm never going to have it where the partner, and I shouldn't say never, maybe when I'm like, you know, I don't know. You know, who knows what the fuck's going to happen. Ben moves out, Jen passes away one day, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying when I'm 78, you know what I mean? But, like, even then, that wouldn't be the same thing as what Porty was. You have to understand that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Porty is the bridge from, you know. Like, Porty's my constant, as I've always said. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lost reference. I'm old. You know what I mean? Like, Porty is the bridge from basically college to, you know, me being a husband and a father and a CEO and all these different things. Like, that dog, you know, wasn't my dog. He was part of me. He was my partner. He was an appendage of me. And it's obviously still very painful not to have him. And that's not to cheapen Cole by any stretch of the imagination. Again, I truly love Cole. You understand that. I'm a wiener dog super fan. And I love this guy. And he's so goddamn cute. And he's so soft. And, like, you know, seeing him with Poe and the fact that Jen's his favorite, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Porty obviously loved me and he loved Jen. And so it was always great to see him and Jen together, but, like, he was my dog. And, like, to see that Cole, like, you know, loves Jen so much. And he loves me too, you know what I mean? I feel like, you know, and I totally understand what you're saying, Miniza, of, you know, the way I phrase it and how it sounds. And to be clear, I'm not cold to this dog. I am fucking over the moon for this dog. I love this dog. He wakes up and he rubs on me and I kiss him. I'm like, I love you. And you see me do the choo-choo thing on the TikToks and whatnot. Like, I love Cole, but, like, him and I won't have the relationship Porty and I had. And that's, again, not me closing myself off to it. I've talked about this many times on different shows. I think on the first Greg Way where I was bawling about it, right? Like, Cole will never go to Spring Break Live, Let's Play Live, or, you know, to Kind of Funny. Like, I don't ever expect Cole to be on the Kind of Funny Live stage. Not because I'm locking him out from that or closing myself off to that. It's just the fact that, you know, goddamn it, knock on wood, Cole will never be on hundreds of episodes of Kind of Funny content because we're working from home or we're working out of a spare bedroom. And so, of course, he's with me all the time, like Porty was, right? I expect, you know, since, again, I'm not with him all the time, my Cole stories won't be the same as my Porty stories, which were so much of him as my Robin and me as Batman. It's a weird one of, I feel like, you know, Cole's a member of the family and he's going to have so many different adventures with the family and different combinations of us. But, like, he's not going to come to Royal Rumble with me and maybe get into he's not going to be backstage and I'm going to be holding him and get, you know, thrown over the top. You know, like, crazy ass shit that Porty got into. That Porty was, like, thing. Like, you know, when we brought Porty to IGN to choose between Call of Duty and Battlefield, right? Like, I don't think that's going to happen to Cole. I don't expect to have a million Cole stories on the podcast the way I have stories about Porty. And again, this could all be self-fulfilling in a way, I guess, but it is that idea that it'll be different, obviously, because he's a child and he's, you know, going to grow up or whatever, and he'll pass away. Hold on. Ben is going to be a child his whole time with Cole, right? If we're lucky, we get to 16, 17, right? But Ben's still under my roof and in my house and yada, yada, yada. So it won't be the same, but Cole is meant to be his Porty. Cole is not meant to be my Porty. Cole is the family dog. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, if Cole is like, you're my favorite, Dad, and I want to hang out with you all the time, Dad, and blah, blah, blah. I would do that and I would be thrilled and I would love that and yada, yada. But again, I don't think he would come to the office on a regular basis. I don't think he would go do that. It's just, you know, there's an objective to Cole and Cole has a role that Porty didn't have. You know what I mean? Even for Porty being the family dog with me and Jen, right? He was our dog. And Cole is our dog. He's our family dog in a way that I just don't think that wasn't what Porty's role was. It's an interesting layered response that clearly I think I haven't. I think about a lot of the shit I say to you guys at some point in my life when I'm podcasting in my head in the shower or in the fucking car alone. I haven't done this. It's just I say that he's Ben's dog because he's Ben's dog. That's why we got him. You know what I mean? I don't think we would have, if Ben hadn't showed such an affinity for dogs and such a love for dogs, I don't know if we would have been like, all right, let's pull the trigger right now while we have this 15-month-old who's running all over the house now and doing all these different things and yada, yada, yada. Like, we got Cole because Ben wanted a dog so bad. And they're together, and they're just the best thing together. I'm so happy we did. But again, that was the objective for it. The objective is for him to be Ben's dog. And so, like, I guess that's it, too, where it's like, if I was to say my dog, I would think that I'm not claiming ownership over him because I own him. He's my dog. But you know what I mean? Like, he's the family dog. He's owned by all three of us, whereas Porty was always mine. I brought Porty into any relationship or any dynamic I brought him in, whereas Cole came in to be ours, which is different for me than what Porty was, who was, you know, this solo creature with me or whatever. There was 10 minutes just about a weird-ass question about Cole. I tell you what, I could podcast with a goddamn rock. I'm going to call it there. It's 5:30. I have a date tonight with Jen. I have to go home and get ready for that and do a bunch of different stuff. And it's Friday. Sorry this one came in at the wire. But I love doing it. Thank you. Please, as always, I'll save all the questions that I get to. We'll see if we get to them another time. As always, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Go to the very post that this is, where this went up, and then just leave comments there. And I can grab them that way. Until next time, I'm Greg. This has been Greg Way, and it's been my pleasure.